Well, good morning. Just bear with me a second since I've actually stepped into the 21st century and I go electronic now. And I don't know how to operate it very well, so. Yeah. How many can agree with that, right? Anybody over 40, y'all struggle with that? I know I do. Anyway. There was a profound statement that was just made. I don't know if y'all caught it, but said he can love you more in a moment than others can in a lifetime. If you walk out of here with anything, that's not in my notes, that's not what I'm preaching about. But I'm good right there. If you walk out of here with anything today, remember that one statement. He can love you more in a moment than anything else in this world can do in a lifetime. You know, we strive for so much. We try to live the American dream, the fancy house, the big car, this, that. We even strive in church. We come in so many times with a performance-based attitude of just, man, whatever I got to do to get closer to God. And we read, we pray, we do all these things, and that's all good stuff, and I love that stuff, and I do that stuff myself, but it simply comes down to, doesn't matter what you do, He loves you. He just loves you. He is so crazy about you, it's almost ridiculous. So if you hear anything today, hear that. That He can love you more in a moment than anybody else in a lifetime. Amen? Amen. All right, so hey, I grew up in this church, and as I scan across the room, it's like, I don't know you. Man, I never seen you before. Man, you got whole back row, like I don't recognize anybody. I come over here, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I might recognize 10% of the people in this room. So, with that being said, I'm the last of the Sodmonts. I shouldn't say the last. I'm the fifth of the Sodmonts, okay? My mother sits back there, so I am the baby. And if you've ever been around me in worship, you will see I cry a lot. So I am truly a baby when it comes to worship. And, there was a great move of God that went through this region, this area, through this church 20 years ago. And you know, my wife and I both just really got whacked by the presence of God and the fire of God. And, you know, I remember in my room one night, we were praying together and we said, God, we'll go anywhere, do anything you call us to do, but your presence must go with us. And you know, that led a journey to, we went to Carlisle and worked with Randy Clark for a little bit, and God moved us to Florida. And guys, I will tell you this, we had an amazing, amazing season in Florida. Just saw so many things happen, so many connections that were made. And you don't understand why God connects or God brings certain people in your life. And like, why did we have to meet that guy? And just amazing things. And, you know, my wife travels, you know, she don't travel a lot, but she's part of an organization that travels all United States and bringing city revival all over this nation. And she sits with these major, major players doing amazing things. And that never would have happened if we wouldn't go to Florida. And God even gave us an opportunity. We pastored a church for 8 years down there. And whew. I don't want to sign up for that one again, okay? That's tough. And I'll tell you, that ended really bad. And a lot of them, I'm not going to get into it, but man, I'm telling you, when that thing went down, I got seriously wounded in that. And I spent about the next 6 to 8 months just, look, my relationship with God was rock solid. I wasn't wavering. I wasn't in sin. I wasn't doing any of that. But I was just at a point like, God, I'm just about done with people. Because people have a tendency to hurt you. Even in the church. I'll be honest with you, more in the church. Because the world just acts as the world does. I don't expect you to hurt me in here. I expect when I walk in this place, I'm going to be loved. And nobody's going to say a bad thing to me because we're the body of Christ. But the reality is that doesn't happen all the time. People hurt. How many know hurt people, and heal people, right? That's not rocket science. That's just a fact. And so, man, I went through this period, and I just, God, I'm done with people. Man, God, I love you so much, and I'm after you. I'm for you. And I said, but I just don't know why. Why, God, do I got to step back into the arena again? Why do I got to step back into that rink and go for it? And man, I opened up my Bible that morning as I was praying and saw these couple words that said, Jesus full of compassion. And I just began to weep. And I said, I'm in. I'm back in. And so, guys, I tell you, for God to move us from Florida, because I would have said, I'm retiring there. I gave up a job. I was making six figures. And it's not about that money, but we were blessed. Man, God took so good care of us. And, you know, my wife come to me 2 years ago with, man, I had a dream, and I think God's calling us back to Pennsylvania. Might even be 3 years ago. And I'm like, ooh, that's not of the Lord. We're not going anywhere. Ooh. And man, just over a season. And actually, my daughter Brittany had an angel appear to her and basically told her that we were to go back to Pennsylvania. And so there were many things that happened to bring us to this point. And I wrestled with it, and I wrestled with it, and I wrestled with it. Until I kind of put out the proverbial fleece, per se. And I put the walls up. I put wall after wall after wall after wall up and said, God, what about that? What about that? What about that? Until that's dealt with, I'm not moving. And man, he just broke them down one after another after another after another. To my wife and I was sitting in our living room Sunday night. I don't know, we was watching TV, nothing great. And my daughter calls us. And she shares this prophetic word that was just given over somebody up here. But that prophetic word hit us. Like, that was for us. And I said, God, I'm in. And so here we stand. 5 months just removed from Florida. I love the weather up here. It's great. It's cold. It's rainy. I've been trying to play golf every Sunday. I've played once because it has rained literally every Sunday, I think, since the snow melted. But I want to say this, God's doing amazing things. My brother spoke of revival that's, I believe, is happening. I don't even want to say coming, I believe it's happening. And so today I want to touch base, I want to talk about fire for a minute. Did anybody watch, what the heck was it, the wedding, what do you call that, The Royal, thank you very much. That's how much I'm into. Did anybody watch that morning? Did you really? Like, I watched it, but I didn't mean to watch it. It was a complete accident. I just got up, and I don't even really have local TV, but somehow I got, I think it was on NBC, and I turned it on right where this minister was talking about fire. I'm like, oh, did y'all hear that? And so I pulled a little bit of that, but I want to spin off that more. And so, you know, you think about fire, and I'm talking a natural fire right now, just all of history and how fire has redefined man and what we do. From, like, we cook with it, right? Without fire, what would we eat? Well, I guess you could have an electric stove, but electricity is actually birthed out of fire because that's how they produce it, for the coal in the plants, and it makes electricity, makes fire. So without fire, you don't even have electricity. And you think of a gun and how a gun goes off, right? What makes a gun go off? A spark. Man, what could happen if a spark hit this area? Just a spark of the fire of God. Think of the old settlers and the old, we call them smoke poles. They dump the powder in a flash pan, and you guys that hunt yet with them things dump that powder, and you need that spark to ignite that fire. And you think of the guy, I know it wasn't Henry Ford, but that's the closest guy I can think of. Think of the engine. Think of the automobile. Think of the combustible engine. And like somebody discovered, if I can harness that fire and put it inside of this cylinder, and I'm not a mechanic, so if I screw this up, just deal with it. Put it inside there, and if I can cause a spark, an explosion in there to push this shaft, it's going to cause something to turn, and boom, we have an automobile today. And now we got cars with 1,000 horsepower. Thank you very much. I got one, though. I'll return that back to you. They got like 1,000 horsepower. Are you kidding me? And so it all comes out of fire. And so what would the fire of God look like if he touched this region again? What could one spark do? One spark. Has anybody ever lit a fire of gasoline before? Has anybody got the hairs on their face burned off before? Right? Just very simply, with the right fuel, the right moment, the right situation, and a spark, and you have a fire. You know, Elijah did that with the 400 prophets of Baal. Y'all know that story is how he challenged them. He challenged Jezebel. He challenged that whole society that was going on at that time. And we know the story how they did all their chanting. These 400 prophets did all these things. And it didn't consume that sacrifice. But it says that Elijah, when it came his turn, it says that Elijah repaired the altar. That's key. Elijah repaired the altar that had once been there, meaning there was a fire that burnt there at one time. The presence of God resided there at one time. And Elijah knew, if I could step into that place and repair that thing, the presence of God's going to show up. And it says it was also the time of the evening sacrifice. And so Elijah was just playing right along with all history with what the Mosaic Law had already said. He knew it was time for the even sacrifice. And so as he did that, we know the story. The fire of God fell. It even burned the wood, the wet wood. It consumed everything, the fire of God. But it was at the right time. And I believe, church, as we stand here today, that we are in that season right now. I truly believe that we as a group of people who are coming together, that we're in the season of revival. We're in the season of seeing God light a fire again. And it's not a season that's just going to grow the church. It's a season that's going to expand. It's going to change the culture, the very culture that we live in. I believe it. I see it. And I know that's one of the reasons God called us here. And so I want to talk. Yeah, I honestly don't know why I write notes, because I never follow them. But if you turn to Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. It says this. I baptize you with water. This is John the Baptist. I baptize you with water, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Verse 12. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquestionable fire. I want you to see something here, verse 11, where John's saying, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. You have to understand, as John the Baptist's ministry was going on, I mean, put yourself in that time frame. Put yourself in that era of, here's this guy out in the desert, and there's thousands of people coming. You want to talk about revival hitting a region and transforming a region. There's thousands of people that's coming to the River Jordan to be baptized by John. John has disciples. John's teaching. John's instructing. There's a great move of God that's coming. But yet John stands up and he says, look, everything that you see here right now, it doesn't hold a candle compared to what's coming. His sandals, I am not even worthy of, because there's something coming that's far greater than what you're seeing right here. There's something coming. John knew there was something coming that he couldn't do. He said, there's one coming that's going to baptize you with fire. John baptized with water. Jesus baptized with fire. Holy Spirit baptized with fire. And he said, that's what's coming. And if you check your Bible, we're not there yet. We're not at the end of that. That word that was spoken 2,000 years ago is just as relevant today as the day it was spoken, that the Holy Spirit is still baptizing with fire. And it says he has his winnowing fork. Verse 12 talks about this winnowing fork. Anybody know what a winnowing fork is? Yeah? It's not that thing you eat supper with. Some of us eat like it. You teenagers, you look like you got a winnowing fork when you... So back then, that they would thresh the wheat. They would bring the wheat into a room. And it even talked about rooms have like a doorway, kind of almost like this. This would be a great place to thresh wheat if we opened that door. Because what's blowing through here is wind. There's a current that's blowing through here. And winnowing is, you would take the fork and throw the wheat up in the air, and the wind would catch all that. They call it chaff. The wind would blow the chaff away, and the grain would fall. The good grain would fall. And it says his winnowing fork is there. He's winnowing, he's throwing that chaff up in the air. He's causing a separation. I want you to hear that. He is causing a separation of the chaff. And how's he doing it? It says with unquenchable fire. As I was preparing this morning, I was reading that. And I don't know why I've always read that unquenchable fire as like the fires of hell, because it talks about that. There'll be unquenchable fire. But it hit me this morning is, no, that's not it at all. God's calling us to live in that unquenchable fire. I'm going to make a statement. There's no chaff in the fire. I want you to hear that, church. There's no chaff in the fire. I'm getting a deer with a headlight look. We kind of talked about this downstairs this morning. We have this adversary called the devil, and we give him far too much credit for what he does and who he is. We empower him constantly because we talk more about his power and his authority and his control than we really do of God sometimes. And sometimes the devil causes this thing, we call it sin here, and we tag that, and we struggle with the sin issue when Jesus carried that 2,000 years ago and said, like, would you just forget about it? I did it already. I did it. Sin issue is not a sin issue. Now listen, I'm not giving you the right to go out and live like heathens. That's not what I'm saying. But gosh golly, if you make a mistake, get over it. The blood of Jesus has washed you and covered you. You're free. You're free. You're free. Okay? I live in the fire. I'm not perfect, and I make mistakes, but I will promise you, I never, never struggle with sin. You know why? Because I don't empower it. Because there's no chaff in the fire. It burns, all of it. How? By the blood of Jesus. It's simple. The Bible says I'm a child of God. That's who I am. Last night, if anybody was down at the Ellen Scott concert, anybody down there? I know my brothers. Anybody else get down to that? At one point, Ellen Scott brought his daughter up on stage. I don't know, she was 2 or 3 years old. And he just held his daughter, and she makes mistakes. He even talked about, you know, how she, you know, kids get sick and they vomit at you, as little babies, and they puke on you. And he says, I don't change my love for her based upon that. If anything, I feel I have compassion for her, and I feel more. And how much more the love of the Father has for us. And I'm just telling you, church, I see people after people. I'm telling you, I've had people come to the altar 5 and 6 times, the same person. And like, I just don't feel like God loves me. I'm just going to be honest. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you really kidding me? Do you know what the Word of God says? Do you understand who you are? Have you asked Jesus Christ into your heart? Is there anybody in here unsaved? Have you all asked Jesus Christ in your heart? I can look around the room and think we're pretty good. I think we're safe. Then you're a child of God. That's not deep. That's just truth. You're a child of God. That settles it. So let's get over the sin issue, because there's a great work God wants to do. There's a great thing he's doing here right now. And can you believe it? In Cambria County. Cambria County, right? How about in, you know... Yeah, thank you, Lord. Who said that? Thank you, Lord. Finally, right? Cambria County's on the map. I mean, there were so many moves of God that went through Florida. It's Florida, Florida, Florida. I'm like, God, what about us? And here we stand. Why not us? Why not Cambria County? Why can't the next great move of God that is written in the history books, when we're all dead to God, and say, it happened right here? Why can't our children's children talk about the day? I remember the time. I remember the time. I remember the day. I remember that. Why not here? Why not now? Why not you? Why not you? Why not her? Why not? Is it possible? Then get in the fire and don't come out. See, the fire burns and it hurts. But if you'll stay there, fire has this amazing ability. Fire has this amazing, it destroys. You go look at a natural fire, you see the fires in California, we see this stuff on the news, and man, it's just heart-wrenching to see the destruction that happens in, you know, people's homes, and I completely get it. But also, if we can learn to control that fire, and we have in a sense, there's places that, y'all know this, they do what we call a control burn. They intentionally light something on fire so it'll burn an area out. Have you ever seen an area like that that's been lit on fire and something's burned away? What happens? What's the next thing that produces? There's new growth. There's new stuff that happens. Even the fires like in California, they'll go intentionally ahead of that fire and light a fire to burn an area out so when the massive fire gets there, it's already burned. And you know what happens? It dies. But if you look at a place where a fire burnt, you'll see growth. You'll see life. You'll see things growing there that never, I don't want to say never existed. Because they were there. They were just covered. And they never had the opportunity. Go into a forest. You know, one year, many years ago, we have a camp up in Potter County. And in one hunting season, this whole mountainside burned off. I don't know what caused the fire, but I mean, it's clear back in the middle of the woods, but this whole mountainside burned off. And so it was the first day of hunting season, and we went up a little bit early. And as we walked into that area, I was like, oh my gosh, you know what I saw? I saw acorns and all this feed everywhere. That from year after year, as the leaves fall, all that stuff gets covered. So you never know what's really there. And the new growth that wants to come up through that never has the opportunity because there's just layer upon layer upon layer of leaves just laying on it. And there's like this oppression that just lays there. And the new life never really has the opportunity to grow. And man, we've got there and you could see that already beginning to sprout and to grow. And so fire can bring life. And something else fire can do. Fire can sear. You know, back in the olden days when people got a wound or people got hurt or something, y'all see it in the movies, they take the hot iron, right? And they touch that thing. What's that doing? It's like, I'm not a nurse or a doctor. It's like catheterizing a room. Is that the word? Carterizing? Close? Cather, Carter, what's the difference? It's all, you know what I mean. It's all doing the same thing, right? But it has the power to do that. It has the power to do that. You know, the Lord told Moses, I'm in Leviticus chapter 6 now. The Lord told Moses as Moses built the tabernacle and the symbolism, all that, and that's really what I'm talking about when I quote this verse here is the symbolism of all that. You know, that everything had to be in place, the laver, the basin, you know, the altar, the holy of holies, where the Ark of the Covenant would be placed, all these things. But the Lord instructed Moses this word when he talked about the altar. When he said about the altar, he said, Moses, don't ever let the fire go out on the altar. It must burn continuously. Now, I want you to take that and put that into your life today. Don't ever let the fire go out. Ever. You know the quickest way to let a fire go out? Ignore it. Just ignore it. You know, I'm just going to be real. I have such a passion. You know, a couple weeks ago when we had that first meeting here, that first revival meeting, Gary was here, and if anybody was here that night, you know about the oil that came out of the piano and all that stuff. You know what? I left early that night because my wife was away traveling, and she got home that night, and I left kind of after David was done preaching that night, and I didn't get to see that. And man, you know how frustrated I am at myself that, man, I want to see my wife. It was a couple days, and sounds like a good reason, right? But I missed that opportunity. And I'm telling you guys, that's what drives the fire. That's what burns in me. That's why I come to meeting after meeting, because what if that's the one? What if that's the one where the presence of God comes so strong? And man, I missed it. I was tired that day. Well, I worked all day. And man, we could live 1,000 excuses, and that's all they are, they're excuses. But I will tell you, church, I have a burning for the next generation. As I stood in the room that night, and I scanned the room, please, I'm in that age. The average age in that room that night was 45 to 50 years old, or maybe even more. And man, that was an amazing night. There were incredible things that happened. But I ask you, church, where's the next generation? Where are they at? It scares the hell out of me. Just being honest. What's going to happen next? Who's going to carry the revival here? When God starts this thing, who's going to carry it to the next generation? The days and times of just, I go to church. Church has to end. God is looking to do something absolutely incredible here. More than we can ask, imagine, more than we can even dream about. I mean, I think a revival, I have a preconceived notion in my head what that should all look like. I'm not even scratching the surface. If God's going to do something great here, what about the next generation? And for all of you that were here, and I can look around the room, and I know there's some people that were here 20 years ago when God did an amazing move here. I'm telling you, the kids of that generation, the kids at that time, they're on fire. They're on fire. They're still burning. And what's going to happen to the next generation? You know who carries that right now? It's us. We carry it. Or we're supposed to carry it. And can we, as the church, pass that baton to the next generation? That they can pick that up and they can carry it. Because what happens to the generation after that? You walk into a prayer room anymore and you find me somebody in a prayer room that's under 30 years old. Try it. You won't find it. Why? That's hard. I didn't come here to beat anybody down. That's not my intent. But I'm telling you, in the fire of God comes, things are going to change. It'll change. My technology's trying to write something. Turn to the book of Acts. If you have your Bibles with you, or should I say today your phone, right? Oh, I'm not going to go there. Was y'all here the night? I got to go there. You know what this is? This is the Bible. This is the Word of God. It is the truth. You know what it's not? I'll tell you what it's not. It's not fake news. It's the truth. It says you are a child of God. Do you really believe it? Because your actions dictate what you really believe. Woo. Did you hear the night that David threw that thing on the ground and he stood on that? Man, I tell you what, I will go to my grave with that image printed in my head. Because that's the very foundation of who I am. I am nothing without that. I have nothing to stand on. I can't tell you how many people come up front, oh, Jesus, touch me. And pretty soon they're laying on the floor. And they get up. And they come back the next week. Oh, Jesus, touch me. And they get up. And through their week, their life's a mess. Because you know why? They don't have this to stand on. They know with Jesus, it's all about feel good. And they don't have the Word of God in them. This book says that nothing in all eternity could separate me from His love. Nothing. So I believe that. I cannot screw up enough. Because I'm loved. Preach on that. How about it? Hokey smokey, that ought to get you excited. Heidi Baker said this one time. Anybody know who Heidi Baker is? Y'all know who Heidi Baker is? If you don't, look her up sometime. There's hundreds of people been raised from the dead. So really what that book says is really true. It still happens today. Just because we don't see it here in Canberra County does not mean that it doesn't exist, because it does. Right? Yet. How many has ever prayed for a dead person before? Literally. Good job, guys. Keep doing it. What are you going to do the day when that person sits up? You're going to freak out. That's what you're going to do. Let's be real, right? First time I ever saw Heidi Baker, you know, you hear all these stories, and man, she just, you know, her and her husband just, they just sold out to God, and God's using them amazingly in Mozambique, doing amazing things. And the first time, you know, we's kind of working with Randy Clark a little bit, and Randy brought her in, and we're all excited, and just this, it's Heidi Baker, like, it's Heidi Baker. Y'all get that way when she's in town, you go see her, don't you? I know you do. And she made a profound statement, I never forgot it. She said, lovers outwork workers. Lovers outwork workers. And see, so when I said to you before, I said, Jesus full of compassion, Jesus was so full of love, he had no choice but to do his Father's will. And if you would just allow the fire of God to touch you, as if we were worshiping, God said, my love's in the fire. If you would let God touch you enough to get the love that he carried, it'll possess you. It'll change your life that, like, you have no choice. It's not a problem to get up and come to a meeting. It's not a problem to go. It's not a problem. Because there's a passion. There's a fire. See, I'm in love. I'm in love. And that's the game changer. I'm not in religion. I'm not even into church. I'm in church, but I'm not into church. I'm in love. And that's the game changer. So there was these 12 guys. We know them as the disciples, because I'm starting to ramble. I also know I got about 20 minutes for you really to pay attention. After that, everything's downhill. Just being honest, that's proven fact. So I know I'm already over my 20-minute threshold. So there was these 12 guys that spent 3 years with Jesus and said, God, we'll go anywhere, we'll do anything. We're there for you. Remember the night of the betrayal when Jesus was betrayed? Peter even said, God, man, I'll die for you. I'm your boy. I got your back. And yet in a garden, when the pressure was on, all 12 of them ran like little kids, scared to death. Do you know Pentecost was 50 days after that? Roughly 50 days. In our time calendar, it was less than 2 months. And we see these same 12, well, not the same 12. We've lost one there on the way, right? But we see these men in an upper room. And what happened? We all know the story. What came? Give me one word. Fire. Tongues of fire. I don't even know what that looks like. I've seen people try to draw it. I don't know what that looks like. But I know fire was there. And so I saw 12 men enter a room that were fearful, didn't know what their future really had, and come out of that room with great boldness and power and authority. You tell me, what's the answer? It's in the fire. It's in the fire. There's even a part in, I think it's Acts chapter 4, where Peter and John were in prison, and they didn't know what to do with these guys because they were preaching, the church was growing. My gosh, it says there was even a great fear that came among the people because of the church. It wasn't because of the church. It was because of the presence of God was showing up. And there was like, I love this verse. I got to read this verse. This is really a good verse. Because if I quote it, I'm going to blow it. And I don't want to blow it. Let me see. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. It says this: when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. Unschooled, unlearned, ordinary, right? We were coal miners around here. We were railroad people. We're all products of that somewhere, point in time, where the steel mills, we're all products of that. And I get it. There's some of us in here that went to college, and praise the Lord, I'm glad for you. I didn't do that though. I'm just an unschooled, unlearned, ordinary, common man. But I've been with Jesus. And that's the game changer. That's the game changer. So if you remember that vision that and I don't know if you all heard, have they all heard the vision that Ricky had? There were several in that vision, and there was one guy in that vision that was a cheerleader for all the others. Y'all remember that? That sound familiar? I'm the cheerleader. And so I come to cheer you on today. Listen, I can't make the choice for you to jump into fire or not. That's your decision. I'm not even talking about coming up to the altar this morning and just getting touched by God. And he may whack you, he may hammer you. I don't know what he'll do. But jump in. Church, I want to encourage you. Jump in. I told you, my wife and I said that prayer, gosh, it's been 20-some years ago. And that fire burns as bright today and as maybe even stronger. Stronger today than it did that night 20 years ago, man. And I would have told you that night was like, whew, there's an inferno burning. I'm not believing for God just to grow a church right here in Ebensburg, Pennsylvania, or I attend Crosscut Church, Pastor Laura's church right now. I'm not believing for God just to grow the church. I'm believing for the government of God to rise up in our land, in our nation. Don't tell me God's not moving in our nation right now. You got to be a blind man not to see it, right? You got to be a blind person not to see it. What do you think's causing that? It's the Spirit of God moving. It's been the cry of the church. And so I believe as we continue, we're calling it revival because we don't know what else to call it. There's a slogan out there we're saying now, follow the dove. Just follow the dove. Whatever he tells you, do it. If the dove tells you to do that, do it. Jesus did it. His father said, I want you to spit in that lady's eye, or in that guy's eye. Just spit in his eye and watch what I'm going to do. My gosh, I'm just being honest. If God told me spit in your eye right now, because you get, I said, oh, that bind you, Satan. I'm just being real. I ain't going to spit in anybody. But you know what? Maybe I will. So if you ever catch a loogie coming at you, okay, enough of that. All right, let me see what I'll get written down here, and we'll wrap this thing up. I want to read one more verse. Acts 4:29-31. It said, now the Lord consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. You don't got to raise your hand, but I would probably just if I'd asked the question, how many of you in here deal with fear in one sense or another, especially public speaking? If I'd ask any of you to come up here and pray, a good majority of you would be shaking in your boots. It's just fact. The fire of God will cure that. The fire of God will eliminate all that. It just does. You could ask my mother, if you knew who I was as a young kid and the way I stuttered and the fear I dealt with was absolutely amazing. But the day that I was got the revelation that fear is a liar, you hear a song on the radio, fear is a liar. Okay, y'all get that revelation? That fear is a liar. And the day I realized that, my stuttering stopped. I don't struggle to speak in front of people. I don't care who it is, how big the crowd is. I just don't care because I stand on that book. And that book says I'm an overcomer. That book says I'm a child of God. So fear has no authority in my life. I still hear the voice. I heard it this morning. When you get up there, you're going to stutter. I heard it again this morning. I just chose not to believe it. Because I'm not filled with the Jesus dots. I stand on the word. Big difference. All right? Good enough? You ready to jump in the fire? Then jump in. Don't let anybody hold you back. Don't let anything hold you back. I get it, man. Sometimes we're tired and we got all the stuff. Trust me, I understand. But what if the one time you stayed home? So Saturday night, we're having another meeting here Saturday night. And, you know, I have no intention of pubbing that meeting, but I guess I am. You got a choice to make. There's a fire burning here. There is. You can choose to stay home and hear about it Sunday morning, which will never have the same effect on you that it had if you were here in person. Or you could come and show up and let God whack you. I'm just telling you, you can ask people who've been whacked. You don't have a choice. It changes your life. The fire of God will change your life, hands down. Amen. You just got to put yourself in that position and say, God, here I am. If you do your part, he'll do his. Amen? Amen. All right, so here's what I'm going to do. We're going to pray, and I don't know who's all altar workers, and you can come up. And look, I'm not promising you anything. I just ain't going to do it. I'm not going to hype anything up. If you want prayer and say, God, that's me, I'm in. I'm in. Now listen, God knows your heart. I don't get moved on words anymore. I don't get moved on emotions. I just don't, because God knows the heart, and that's what God looks at. So if you're sitting there today and you say, man, you just feel it burning in your heart, you need to be up here. But don't give God lip service this morning. If there's only one person that walks out of here today and says, man, I got it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know what? If it's every one of you, woo-hoo, a little bit of praise the Lord. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you. God, first of all, I say that you are a good God. You are an amazing God. God, you know everything. God, you know the condition of every heart in this place right now. And Father, I pray, God, that the very words that were spoken today, God, the scriptures that were read, God, would have the power to change the hearts of everyone in here. God, it would be good seed that was planted in fertile ground. God, that it may produce a fruit, that it may produce a harvest. God, that the birds of the air would not be able to steal that which you have imparted today. So, Father, I ask you by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would bring fire into this room today. That there would be a burning. There would be a burning. God, you would touch the hearts of these people. You would ignite a flame today, God. And Lord, even a spark. God, I know there's people sitting in this room, God, where there's been embers just burning, or there's the fire's ready. It just needs lit again. God, there are seeds that have been planted years and years and years ago. But God, through circumstances of life, through the challenges of life, them seeds have not been able to grow. And God, I pray today you light a fire and burn away the chaff. God, that there is life that can grow from that today. And Lord, I pray as John the Baptist said, there's one coming that'll baptize with fire. And Father, I pray that today that you baptize with fire all through this room. God, I pray no one exempt today. No one exempt. In Jesus' name. Amen. And so you're dismissed. But if anybody wants prayer, ask for... I want one of them myself. Susie, could you come up on where is she still here? Susie here? Woo.